Welcome to 9to5 Mac Daily for Thursday, July 3rd, 2025. I'm your host, Chance Miller, and today I'm joined by the one and only Benjamin Mayo. How's it going, Mayo?
Hi-o, I'm doing good.
So for today's episode, I think we just wanted to run through some esoteric, some smaller changes in iOS 26 that we've both been using since we've been running the beta for the last 3 weeks at this point. We're getting getting in a good rhythm about the features that we use on a daily basis. So I'll go first, and then you'll go, Mayo. We'll just round robin it a couple times. My first feature is Auto Mix in Apple Music. This is the feature that uses artificial intelligence, but not Apple intelligence. So it works on any phone that can run iOS 26, and it uses artificial intelligence to create seamless transitions from song to song as you're listening to a playlist or listening to something on shuffle. It does things like bridge the gap between the songs. It'll cut the intro of the next song if it has like a really long intro. It's kind of like a DJ experience where it's meant to make sure there's no lull as you go from one song to the next. It's like crossfade, but more advanced. Crossfade, but on steroids, basically. And I don't know how much time and testing you've spent with it, Mayo, but I spent a lot of time with it in the car on a long drive over the weekend, and it's a very cool feature. It does some funky things. There were a couple times where it would start transitioning to the next song like 45 seconds before the song was over, and it was not a smooth transition at all. So still some kinks to be worked out, but the vast majority of the time it creates a really cool and a really compelling transition.
It like changes the beat lengths of some stuff as the song goes out to try and match the incoming song. And yeah, it feels a lot more sophisticated than just a straight crossfade, which is obviously what has been in Apple Music before. And we've seen it go viral on like social media and stuff. So I think it's going to be a big feature come September because, you know, it's easy to demo and it kind of looks really cool. And even on the lock screen, you know, that they have that full screen artwork now. Even that like animates with auto mixes running. So like you kind of get this like dissolve animation as well as obviously the audio changing. So yeah, I think it's a really well done feature. Like you said, it does depend on what song you're going from, what song you're going to. And especially if you're like crossing genres of music, it probably doesn't work as well. But for like the average case and like pop and stuff, and if you listen to like one album, generally the albums have the same kind of tone of music throughout, so the auto mix can do a pretty good job. And I don't know if I like hearing the songs from start to end, so like I was never a big like crossfade user either. But maybe sometimes auto mix is fun, and I bet it'll be pretty popular in the general community.
And I think it works in the cloud, so you need to be connected to cellular or Wi-Fi for it to work. And B, I think it only works on songs that are in Dolby Atmos, which makes sense because you theoretically need the stems from each song to make that transition. And it also means the quality of the transition probably varies based on the quality of the stems that the artist provided. So that's probably one of the reasons for the more funky transitions it generates sometimes. But yeah, overall, a very fun feature.
Now for my pick, I will choose Hold Assist, which isn't quite as fun as AutoMix, but it is very practical. And I was very recently on customer support with a company and we were on hold and I was like, oh yeah, I can do Hold Assist now in iOS 26. And so you can do it manually anytime if you click the more button and there'll just be an option for Hold Assist, but it will also try and suggest it to you. So if it hears hold music on the main screen of the phone app when you're on a call, it will just have the little banner for, do you want to hold the line? And you can press one button and it'll hold. And basically when you put it on hold, you can put your phone down. You don't have to, because I think what I did before was you just put it on speaker, right? And then you put it on the desk and you hear the terrible music for 20 minutes until someone picks up the phone again. But basically what Hold Assist does is you don't have to put your phone on speaker to hear the screechy tones. It will listen to the screechy tones on your behalf. And when it then hears, the next time it hears a human voice, it will then alert you and notify you to then actually pick up your phone again. So basically, you don't have to be sitting there like an idiot for 15 minutes listening to some very scratchy, low-quality audio track that the customer support line had licensed. Instead, you just put your phone away. You know, I just went on YouTube on my laptop, and then 10 minutes later, it pops up a little notification, makes a little chime. So then you pick up your phone again, and then you carry on.
Very nice. I haven't tried it yet, but sounds like it works pretty well, even
in
the beta.
Well, for me, I'm sure that there will be a bit of a cat and mouse game where in the future, customer support lines might fake human voices to try and make you stay on the line. But at least for now, when you just have hold music, it definitely works.
We are sponsored this week by Bitwarden, the trusted solution for password, passkey, and secrets management. Bitwarden helps individuals and businesses take control of their digital security with tools that make managing strong, unique credentials simple across all devices. That includes desktop, browser, iOS, Android, Apple Watch, and Apple Vision Pro. With features like end-to-end encryption, secure autofill, and enterprise SSO, Bitwarden protects you from phishing attacks and data breaches. Over 55% of people have abandoned logging into accounts because they forgot a password, and 60% say managing passwords is stressful. Bitwarden makes it easy with options like biometric unlock, password sharing, and the ability to manage logins, identities, and payment info across platforms. It even supports passkeys and secure sharing, all with zero-knowledge encryption. Check it out at the link in the show notes or at bitwarden.com. My thanks to Bitwarden for sponsoring 9 to 5 Mac Daily. My next feature is visited places in Apple Maps. So this is the feature that kind of tracks the different places that you go and then collates it all into a dedicated visited places section in Apple Maps. So it shows you, you can view it as a list or you can view a dedicated map showing different places you've been, different areas you've been. You can sort it by city, by different types of businesses, so restaurants versus parks versus dining versus shopping, all that type of stuff. I've found it very useful to be able to go back and see where I was. And if you, I think the biggest use case is if you're in a new city and you go to a certain restaurant, like you're in New York City, you go to a restaurant, and you're like, oh, I really like that restaurant. Then a few months later, you go back to New York City and you're like, oh, what was the name of that restaurant that I went to? And you can't remember it. You can just go to visited places in Apple Maps, view your locations for New York City the last time you were there, and find the name of the restaurant. A very clever feature that I think will only get more useful as you build up a bigger library of past places. And it's pretty good at recognizing the different places. Like if you're in a city, it kind of struggles to know where the if the businesses are super close together to know exactly which one you are at. But if you go into Apple Maps and go to the visited places settings, it'll actually ask you to confirm certain locations, or you can even say, no, I wasn't here, but I was actually here. So something to keep an eye on, like when you're going to new cities, like go in at the end of the trip and try to make sure it's saved all the right places. But first impressions of this feature are pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, it's a clever idea because we've all had that thing where you visit somewhere for a week and you're like, you come back a year late and you're like, where did we go? And it's like, yep. Oh yeah, now I can just look at this little thing and have a little history automatically.
And of course, it's all super private on device. Like you have to opt in. So make sure you do that if you want to use the feature. It should prompt you the first time you open Apple Maps after updating to iOS 26, because it's easy to see why some people might get creeped out about their phone automatically tracking all the places they've been, but it's Apple. I think you can trust it.
Yeah, I do think it's region restricted at the moment because it's in beta and it's only in certain areas.
So oh, really?
I haven't actually been able to get it to pop up on my phone yet, but I think that might be because I'm in the UK, but it definitely works in the US. And then sometimes the stuff you appreciate the most isn't the flashiest thing in the world, but what I really like from this beta season at the moment is on the watch, they made Control Center as customizable as you can on the iPhone. So you can add custom controls, you can add iPhone controls, you can have the Apple Watch apps provide their own controls. And I don't really have a third-party use case for this situation, but what I've wanted to do for ages is just make my lights that are all HomeKit controlled at home as quickly available as possible for my wrist, right? And
right.
Tapping into the Home app and then ticking around takes a few steps. The quickest way to do it on the watch is really using your voice. But sometimes you don't want to actually speak, right? Especially if you've got like friends over, you just want to like turn the lights off. You don't want to then like pronounce your watch to do this or that. So what I've done on WatchOS 26 is you can just add custom controls to Control Center now. So you can add a button for every single light. So I've got a light per room. And then I just have it, I just scroll down on my, I press the side button on my watch and I scroll down. And then I just have a light, 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 light. And you can just tap away and you can turn all the lights off. You can turn the lights on. You can do scenes from that thing. It's like what you can do on the iPhone, right? You can have a different configuration of controls. It's not every control that's on the iPhone is available on the watch. It has to be that like certain kind of toggle style. But I found it really useful. I'm sure other people have other uses beyond HomeKit stuff, but that's what I wanted it for, and now I can use it. And I am not using the macOS beta yet, but when I do use macOS Tahoe, they've added that Control Center thing to the Mac as well. So you can have a fully customized Control Center on Mac as so it's kind of a perk of the watch and the Mac this year.
And you can use third-party controls too, just like you can on iPhone, right?
Yep. Yep. And if you've got compatible iPhone controls from a third-party app on the iPhone, they'll mirror to the paired watch. So it doesn't have to be, you don't have to wait for app updates necessarily. Nice.
Very nice. All right, I think we'll call it there. Thanks for joining us on Daily, Benjamin.
No problem.